I grew up in a broken home. My biological father was an alcoholic. He cheated on my mom and pretty much broke up the family. So after my parents divorced when I was just 10 years old, it was mainly just me and my mom. Now I have two older brothers, one that's 9 years older than me and one that's 7 years older than me. And both at this time had pretty much gone on to do other things, one in college and the other to the Marine Corps. My mom had to be both mom and dad to me. Now, I wasn't a bad kid, not at all. But just like a lot of kids, it was very hard for me to sit still. One very vivid memory that I have of life with just me and my mom at the age of 10 was of her losing her patience with me and continually telling me to sit still. I was a bit of an overactive kid, to put it mildly. Some might say that I had ants in my pants, and overactive probably was an understatement. I can remember my mom wanting to glue me to my seat and saying, "Would you just sit still?" Unfortunately, I never got to pass that parent phrase on to my kids because my girls were never that active and we never had a boy. But I continue to hear that phrase still today from my other parent. The truth is, as an adult, I still have a hard time sitting still. We actually see lots of examples of impatience throughout the Bible. Maybe we should look at these two different situations. First of all, there's Genesis 15, and we see Abram and Sarai, two people that we will come to know as Abraham and Sarah. But right now, they're waiting for God to fulfill his promise of a son for them, a promise that he made to them a few chapters back. They waited and they waited, and they got to the point where they started to feel kind of foolish for waiting. They started listening to outside advice, looking at common practice, and even thinking about their own quote-unquote great ideas. They would eventually try to expedite God's timing by Sarai giving her maidservant, Hagar, over to her husband in order to finally have a son. And as you can imagine, that did not turn out too well. It caused a rift in the family, one that would continue on even today with friction between Muslims and Jews. Their impatience had a generational and a global effect. Now, also in 1 Samuel 24, another story we see from a guy named David, who God had promised to make king. And David's on the run. He's fleeing from the current king, Saul. And Saul was super, super jealous of David's popularity, so jealous that he committed himself to hunting David down and killing him. One day, while Saul was on his way to where he believed David might be hiding, he stopped off and found a cave to, well, relieve himself. While sitting in the cave doing his business, Saul was completely unaware that David and his crew were actually hiding further back in the very same cave. This would have seemed like the perfect opportunity to what we would call seize the day. All signs pointed to David sneaking up on the king in his vulnerability and ending his life, and ending David's life on the run and fulfilling God's promise for David becoming a king. Some might look at this, or he might even look at this, as a God thing or even God opening a door. David snuck up and got close enough to actually cut off a piece of the king's clothing, but immediately he was overwhelmed with this thought of God's timing and not his own. And so he did not give in to his impatience. Needless to say, both Abraham and David lived long enough to see God's promise fulfilled in each of their lives, and it turned out better than either could have ever imagined. But the promise came about only in God's perfect timing. They both wanted to see it happen sooner. They both grew impatient. It became harder and harder to sit still, to continue to trust God. But Abraham and David had to pause for a moment and remember and understand their specific roles in these situations. First of all, God's role was to make the promise and then to bring it about. And second of all, their roles were only to wait for him to do it. And I know that doesn't sound very glamorous to sit and wait. But the reality of faith isn't about doing whatever you need to do in order to see what you want to happen as soon as it can. You know, there's a real temptation to hear a quote-unquote promise from God and then to take it upon ourselves to make it happen. The reality of faith is knowing and trusting that only God will bring his promises to fulfillment. When he wants, at his discretion, and at the right time. Our culture says that inactivity equals death, that we need to continually move forward. Henry Blackaby says this, "To wait, biblically speaking, is not to assume the worst or worry or fret, make demands or take control, nor is waiting inactivity. Waiting is a sustained effort to stay focused on God through prayer and belief. To wait is to, quote unquote, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him." And this idea is reflected both in Psalm 46:10, which the Lord says, "Be still and know that I'm God," and also when Jesus calms the storm with his disciples in the boat, which, spoiler, is probably way more for the disciples than for the sea. Be still. There will come times, just like for Abraham and David, when we are tempted by our own thinking, the advice of well-meaning friends, and the common practices of the day to do something. But God is not looking for doers as much as he is looking for waiters. He is asking us to trust him and to sit still. And at times, it seems like maybe we will never make it to see the other side of what God has planned, and we panic that it's just not going to happen, or we feel foolish that we've waited this long. And it's in those moments where, more than ever, we need to sit still and just trust and allow God to do what only he does best. Our relationship with him is not based on how many spiritual activities we attend, not on how much scripture we memorize, or even becoming an official pastor or minister or priest or something of the sort. Instead, it's based on our daily faith lived out in the form of waiting, trusting, and obeying him, realizing that what God does is what only he can do. And when he chooses to involve us in his plans, whether big plans or very, very, very small, those plans can only come to life through God's initiative and timing. So, in the midst of an age of instant gratification and reliance on the human ability and skill, I'd like to encourage you to wait upon the Lord, being confident that his plans do include you, but that only he can make it happen. Allow the words of many mothers throughout history to validate the urging of the Spirit inside you. Would you please just sit still?